The reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 58, 9b to 14. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honourable, and if you honour it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel can be found on page 1046 in the church Bibles, or 847 in the large print version. Hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus according to Luke 13, verses 10 to 17.
Glory
to you, O Lord. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman who was there was crippled by the spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hand on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue rulers said to the people, "There are 6 days to work, so come and be healed from one of those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Don't each one of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with the wonderful things he was doing. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to look at just three aspects of the gospel reading this morning. First of all, Jesus healing this disabled woman, and then secondly, Jesus and the synagogue official, and then thirdly, Jesus' understanding of the Sabbath. So first of all, imagine that scene in the synagogue that day. Jesus was teaching on the Sabbath in the synagogue where people gathered for worship and hear the scriptures. And while he's speaking, a woman arrives shuffling in with the aid of her stick, and she's bent over, unable to stand up straight. The service comes to a halt as Jesus notices her and at a glance sees her obvious difficulties. And that's one of the things that people remembered about Jesus. He took notice of the individual and with great intuition sensed their need. And people remembered how often he'd reached out to those who were often ignored or pushed aside by the rest of society. No wonder people came to him from far and wide to seek help. So there's the first thing. Jesus knows and cares about each one of us, and he reaches out in compassion to our need. I wonder, look back on your years. How have you experienced his love and care? Think about that. But put yourself in the woman's shoes a moment and see the world from her perspective. Her movements and her mobility severely restricted. Walking round is painful. She relies on good neighbours and friends. Her activities are restricted. She can't easily carry on shopping at market. Even preparing a simple meal is difficult for her. She can't reach into the cupboard to get things out. See yourself in her position. And her self-esteem is battered. It's not easy to keep up with what's going on in the village. She misses out on the local village gossip and banter. And in her cultural setting, she was thought to be possessed by a spirit of evil. Suddenly, she hears Jesus speaking to her directly. Woman, you're free from your ailment. And to everyone's astonishment, he lays his hands on her back, and immediately she senses something in her has been released. She finds she can stand up straight, and she cries out in praise of God. Put yourself in her position. Feel her relief and her thankfulness. And now she can look forward to a more normal life. And the whole congregation is sharing in her praise of God. They somehow, the whole lot, sense that God's working through this man, Jesus. So there's a second thing. How and when, I wonder, as you look back, have you sensed the power and the grace of God at work in you? There's the first scene then. Secondly, comes this chilling rebuke from the synagogue official. And it's this angry reaction and the way Jesus deals with it that has caused it to be remembered by the gospel writer. So again, imagine that scene. You can almost feel the silence that follows. See the angry-faced official as he shouts out, "There are 6 days on which to work. Come on then and be healed. Not on the Sabbath." Has he any idea of what he sounds like as he confronts Jesus? No doubt waving his arms in exasperation. You see, his concern, as he sees his job, is to interpret the rules and the regulations, and that's the be-all and end-all for him. He's lost sight of the personal and the human experience of ordinary people. He can't cope with this unorthodox behavior going on in the synagogue. And Jesus wonderfully responds to his outburst with quiet wisdom and insight, showing or pointing to the deeper meaning of Sabbath. "Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be set free from the bondage on this Sabbath?" And the whole crowd is with him and rejoicing at the wonderful things he was doing. Just a little personal experience, if you forgive it. When my wife was being cared for in a nursing home in Hindhead a few years ago, I was in and out every day and got to know how the system worked. Of course, they were treated very well indeed and professionally. But sometimes, you know, the rules of care were interpreted in ways that somehow hindered help being given when it could be. And staff were always in dread of the manager. As a visitor, I, of course, often helped in small ways, just helping to move people to the dining room or to the chapel, even though it was against the rules for anybody else to move them except staff. But for me, the simple human need came first, and I broke the regulations frequently. And thankfully, the staff turned a blind eye. But it's about a sense of proportion, isn't it? How often in everyday life, situations call for common sense and balance. We talk of the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And what has been your experience, I wonder, as you look back? I'm sure you've met plenty of situations where something like that's happened. Or perhaps you've even been the angry official on some occasion. I know that I have. But brings me to my third point, and the real meaning of Sabbath, as Jesus saw it. The crowd were rejoicing at the presence and the power of God displayed before their eyes in the healing of this woman. And it gave them a sense of hope for the future and a new awareness of God at work. Set free from this bondage. And however we experience bondage, we shall all have something in our life that's a burden. But surely that's what Sabbath is partly about. Recognizing the power and grace of God in our lives to lift these burdens. And that's what Jesus was pointing to when he uses that simple illustration. The man releasing his animal on the Sabbath day to give them water and food. So, was Jesus breaking the Sabbath? Yes, of course he was. But remember what Isaiah was speaking about in that lesson. He'd spoken about this inner meaning of the Sabbath, the spirit of Sabbath, to change the focus of your lives, to speak in terms of removing the yoke. The yoke, of course, represents that burden that we have to face in life. If you satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light will shine in the darkness and the Lord will guide you continually. Well, for us as Christians, Sunday is our Sabbath, the day of the resurrection. And it's a day when we celebrate Jesus giving his life for us, dying and rising for our release from the bondage of sin and death. And without a day when you remember what we are for and what God requires of us, we can become too absorbed in our own narrow concerns. As Isaiah put it, we are to take delight in the Lord, delight in the Sabbath, and he will make us ride on the heights of the earth. Wonderful poetry, but you get the meaning. Now, there's another related reading today from Hebrews. We haven't heard it this morning, but it paints a dramatic picture and a huge contrast in our approach to God. For under the old covenant, you see, God was thought to be unapproachable. You had to keep God at a distance. He was behind the curtain in the temple. Only the high priest once a year could enter that place. Meeting with God was somehow fraught with gloom and fear. And by contrast, the writer to Hebrews says, "No, you followers of Christ, you've come into the very presence of God with saints and angels. God's approachable. Christ enables us to give thanks and acceptable worship with reverence and awe before this consuming fire of the love of God. What an immense privilege we've been given to have a direct approach to God." And the writer finishes off in Hebrews, "Beware that we do not treat this privilege lightly. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking." Amen.